You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing our study here in the book of Jeremiah. Henry had a good commentary on this, shed a little light on this phraseology that he's using here, the burden of Yahuwah. And so I'm going to pick up there where we left off with Henry's commentary. I'm going to go back up a little bit here. He says something that I think is very telling. He says, "The debauching of the language of a nation being a notorious evidence of the prevalency of the wickedness in it." And so we'll pick up where we left off. "They say, the burden of the Lord. This was the word that gave great offense to God, that whenever they spoke the word of Yahuwah, they called it, in scorn and derision, the burden of Yahuwah. Now, this was a word that the prophets much used, and used it seriously to show what a weight the word of God was upon their spirits, and of what importance it was, how pressingly it should come upon those that heard. The words of the false prophets had nothing ponderous in them, but God's words had. Those were as chaff, these as wheat. Now the profane scoffers took his word and made a jest and a byword of it. They made people merry with it, that so when the prophets used it, they might not make people serious with it." Note, it has been the artifice of Satan in all ages to obstruct the efficacy of sacred things by turning them into a matter of sport and ridicule. The mocking of God's messengers was the baffling of his messages. Perhaps this word was caught at and reproached by the scoffer as an improper word, newly coined by the prophets and not used in that sense by any classic author. It was only in this and in that last age that the word of the Lord was called the burden of the Lord. And so we get an idea there, or some ideas of exactly what the prophet was speaking when he spoke of the burden of the Lord coming out of the mouth of the false prophets. We're in Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 1. "Yahuwah showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of Yahuwah. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said Yahuwah unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, so they are evil. Again, the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Thus saith Yahuwah, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of Chaldeans for their good. For I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahuwah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely, thus saith the Lord. So I will give Zedekiah the king of Judah, and his princes, that is his sons, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, to them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them, to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send them the sword, the famine, the pestilence, among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spoke unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that the 23rd year, the word of Yahuwah hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants and prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn you again now, every one from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that Yahuwah hath given you and your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet you have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all those nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolations. The Heavenly Father, our Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Yahuwah by name, he called a people, Israel, a family of nations, 12 tribes that had grown into the millions in the land of Egypt, where they had been put into slavery. Yes, they had to report for work and do as they were told, and he brought them out of the land of Egypt, and he taught them how to form a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It was the kingdom of God in the flesh. It was the kingdom of God on earth, present in a temporal form. Then, as today, the Heavenly Father was asking them to voluntarily live by his law. He said, you shall love the Lord your God. You shall serve no other gods. The same thing he's asking of us today. Though we don't have a temporal kingdom of God, as was Israel in that day, up until the time they threw off the judges and said, we want a king, like the other nations, when the Heavenly Father proclaimed through the prophet, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me from being their king. What kingdom do you want to live in? Will you volunteer your life to live according to his laws, the laws of his kingdom? And will you do it because you love him? But why should you love him? You know, and I think that's a terrible thing, that the enemy has robbed the people of the love of God. The love wherewith he loved them was so great that he became a man and he laid down his life to show them his love for them, to show them how to live. He was the perfect example of a life that lived in perfect obedience to the law of the kingdom of God. Yes, he never broke the law once. Yahshua, the Messiah, never, ever sinned. And though he did not deserve death, yes, he could have lived forever, but he willingly laid down his life. And that's the love that he loved us with. And it's expressed in those terms, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The modern day prophets, those false prophets, like the false prophets of Yirmiyahu's day, Jeremiah's day, they say, they use that scripture a lot. They like that. John 3:16. Yep. For God so loved the world that whosoever would believe on him. What does it mean to believe? Well, they say, oh yeah, just acknowledge. It's an acknowledgement that he existed. But what did Yeshua say about believe? He said, the demons believe and tremble. They're not saved. They believe. Why do they tremble? No, if you believe, if you really believe with a faith, a belief that is more than just an acknowledgement, more than just saying the words, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They love those little verses, those little clips. And then they assure people that they say the magic words and they'll be saved. They lead them up to the kingdom, but they suffer them not to enter because they don't go in themselves. And that's why they hang on a few phrases from a few verses, because they can't take the whole word because it convicts them of sin. They can't take the whole word because it does not give them license to practice their unrighteousness. And that's why they hold back, because they're just like the pastors of Jeremiah's day, covetous, greedy. Why else would you sign up with the state for benefits? Either you're ignorant and deceived, or you're covetous. You want to be secure in your salary. You want to be secure in your pension, so that when you retire, you'll have money and you can do whatever you want. You want to be secure in the medical plan of the world. You want all those benefits. It's covetousness. I'm sorry, you're not relying on the Heavenly Father to provide for you. It's covetousness. But now it's a virtue. To trust in Social Security is a virtue. That's right. Now it's a virtue to be obedient to the laws of the state. Oh, we cannot sin against the state by talking about politics in the church. What is politics? It's policy. It's all law. It all has to do with behavior. And it all has to do with licentiousness, because the law gives you license, and the law prohibits. It either licenses you. See, our Heavenly Father, he prohibits things, but he gives us license to do everything which he does not prohibit. That's how we get license out of the law of God. That's how we get license out of the Bible. We can do everything. What did Paul say? All things are lawful for me. That's what he was saying. Yes, the scripture, his law allows me to do everything that his law does not prohibit. All things are lawful for me, he said, but not all things are expedient. Well, that's a true statement. Everything which our Heavenly Father allows is lawful, though not all things are expedient. A statement of fact, a statement of truth. That's what law is all about. That's what politics is all about. It's all about licensure and prohibition. And that's what God's law is all about. Licensure and prohibition. And the sin of licentiousness is when men allow, and the kingdoms of men allow, that which our Heavenly Father does not allow. They give them license to sin against him. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve Yahuwah. And we will study his word to show ourselves approved. We will let his word be a lamp to our feet, that we might not sin against him, because we love him. And we love him because he loved us first. But the prophets of Baal, what do they say? Oh, if you follow the law of God, why, you're a legalist. And somehow there's virtue in not being a legalist and not following the law of God. Yes, they are false prophets. The world is full of them. And there's just about every edifice has one in it, or two or more. Some congregations are full of them. Dangerous places to tread is the corporate church edifice, the state 501c3 status, not-for-profit corporation riding the back of the beast. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith Yahuwah, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when the 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith Yahuwah, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual, and make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. For thus saith Yahuwah, God of Israel, unto me, take the wine cup of the fury of my hand, and cause all nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I send among them. And then I took the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom Yahuwah had sent me. It's interesting. We did the study in Daniel, and Daniel was reading the word of Jeremiah, and he was counting the years, 70 years, and he prophesied, and he gave us his report that Jeremiah's word was true. The prophet Jeremiah, they served Babylon 70 years. Daniel was there when the 70 years was up. And all that word was fulfilled. So I suggest to everyone when we're done here, to move on to the book of Daniel, or perhaps, review the study online I have there in the book of Daniel. You'll find it a very interesting study. Also follow that with Revelation. And speaking of Revelation, I've had a few revelations since I did those studies, and perhaps I need to review them myself and update them a little bit. Or perhaps I should just do a little addendum to those studies. I may do that as a one-day program, an addendum to the Revelation and Daniel studies. But you see how all these pieces fit together, and one book leads to another. Jeremiah, Daniel, and then Revelation. It's very important to understanding the prophecies of Daniel and the book of Revelation to understand the term, the abomination which maketh desolate, because that's what we're talking about here. That's what Jeremiah is prophesying, the abominations of the nation, the abominations of Judah, which desolated Jerusalem and the temple. That's what we're talking about. That is the abomination which maketh desolate. It's not a one instance thing that happened somewhere, Antiochus Epiphanes slaughtering a pig on the altar of the temple. Certainly that's an abominable act, but it is not the abomination which maketh desolate. Both abominations which maketh desolate parallel each other practically perfectly, because the same things were going on in Jerusalem both times. Armies compassed about Jerusalem, besieged the city both times. The kings and the priests were in rebellion against the Heavenly Father, against the God of Israel. The prophets prophesied falsely, and the priests, well, The same thing happened again, leading up to 70 AD. Both called the abomination. And, you know, Yahshua said it, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Well, what did Daniel the prophet speak of? Well, he spoke, of course, of the abomination which desolated the temple. And when the 70 years were up, the temple was rebuilt. Daniel was given a prophecy of 2,300 days, and it said the house would be built, and the sacrifice would be instituted. And it happened just according to his word. So this is the kind of revelation, this is the kind of insight we need. Common sense, no nonsense, clearly, plainly, without confusion, from the word of our Heavenly Father. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a couple minutes.